From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. Despite objections raised by China, President Obama welcomed the Dalai Lama to the White House today. China had warned meeting with a Tibetan spiritual leader could damage U.S.-Chinese relations. Administration officials say the visit shows the president's support for preserving Tibet's culture and protecting human rights. The president is appealing to the public as the debate over raising the nation's debt ceiling moves to Congress.
You sent us to Washington to do the tough things, the right things, not just for some of us, but for all of us, not just what's enough to get through the next election, but what's right for the next generation.
President Obama, speaking in his weekly address, Republicans want a deficit-cutting deal in return for raising the debt limit, but they disagree with Democrats on how to do it. Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah delivered the Republican address. He blames Democrats for the impasse, and he argues for passage of a balanced budget amendment.
This kind of strong budgetary reform would put us on a path to fiscal health and would prevent this White House or any future White House from forcing more debt on the American people.
House Republicans are due to vote on such a measure next week. The National Weather Service is keeping heat advisories and warnings in place throughout the Great Plains from Texas to Wisconsin. From member station KOSU, Michael Cross reports.
Meteorologists are predicting highs above 100, with heat indices around 110 for the foreseeable future, with little rain in sight. John Zerbe, a farmer in western Oklahoma, says it's tough because the water is running out.
A lot of creeks and springs that's had water running in them for years, and they're drying up. So it's been a big stress right now.
Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon is issuing a burn ban for 45 of the state's 77 counties, as the drought conditions have contributed to more than 140 fires this summer. Climatologists predict the drought might not end until at least fall. For NPR News, I'm Michael Cross in Oklahoma City.
Hundreds of Syrian opposition leaders gathered in Turkey today in hopes of building a shadow government. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports from Istanbul that the U.S. is taking a cautious approach to the nascent opposition.
They came from Syria and abroad to support the demonstrators killed by the al-Assad regime in the past 4 months and to try to convince the rest of the world that they can forge a new, more democratic government. Ex-judge Haitham al-Maleh, a veteran Syrian activist, said the opposition must put aside its differences to honor those who gave their lives for a better Syria. He's heard here through a translator.
We are confronting one of the worst regimes in the world. And these youngsters who confronted this fascist regime, they're heroes. You are all heroes.
Washington has maintained a cautious approach. It has not called on Bashar al-Assad to step down, as it did with Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
This is NPR News from Washington. Heavy fighting was reported today in Libya between rebels and forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi. Neither side appears to be gaining ground. Rebels are encouraged now that more than 30 nations, including the U.S., recognize the main opposition group as Libya's legitimate government. The Japanese Olympic Committee says it is formally backing Tokyo as Japan's bid to host the 2020 Summer Games. John Matthews reports the bid is Tokyo's retry after losing the 2016 Games to Rio de Janeiro.
JOC President Tsunekazu Takeda says Tokyo-held Olympics in 2020 would showcase Japan's recovery from the devastating earthquake and tsunami on March 11th. Having lost the 2016 bid, Tokyo Governor Shintaro Ishihara claims the city is ready to host the Games at any cost. Tokyo's bill for its failed 2016 bid came to around $180 million, and this year's bid is expected to cost even more. Some analysts are skeptical of Tokyo's chances. Aside from a lack of support at home for the 2016 bid, they claim Olympic officials will not hold games back-to-back in the same region. Pyeongchang, South Korea, is scheduled to host the 2018 games. From BR News, I'm John Matthews in Tokyo.
Japan is in the final in the World Cup tomorrow to determine first place in women's soccer. It faces the United States. Sweden beat France 2-1 today to take third place. Soccer officials said today that another 3 North Korean soccer players have tested positive for steroids at the tournament, bringing to 5 the number of North Korean athletes caught doping. North Korea was eliminated from the World Cup in the first round after losing to the U.S. and Sweden and tying with Colombia. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.